Support for KSJD's streaming comes from Osprey PAX, independent since 1974, setting the standard for creating and producing innovative, high-quality, caring equipment designed to inspire and ease your journey. Osprey PAX is committed to the local communities where it operates and to protecting the wild places its customers love to explore. For more information, visit OspreyPAX.com.
Good morning, this is KSJD, I'm Tom Yoder. The Rio Grande Southern Railroad was built in 1890 and 1891, moving freight and passengers through the towns of Telluride, Rico, Dolores, and Mancos. For 40 years, the Rio Grande Southern Railroad operated steam engine-powered trains for hauling heavy freight and livestock shipments. But in 1933, a new gas-powered motor, a Galloping Goose, was introduced for hauling passengers, small amounts of freight, and the mail. Soon the only choice for folks traveling through southwestern Colorado by rail was the not-so-spacious accommodations of a waddling, honking, galloping goose. In 1952, after the railroad was abandoned, members of the Dolores Rotary Club purchased Galloping Goose No. 5 for $250, and it was put on display in Flanders Park in Dolores as a reminder of the town's railroad heritage. My guest this morning is Lou Mattis. He is the president of the Galloping Goose Historical Society in Dolores. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, Tom.
Lou, how did the, there were seven galloping geese in all. How did they, how were they pivotal in the history of the Rio Grande Southern Railroad?
They probably allowed it to extend beyond the Depression up until the 1950s because they really cut labor costs for operating a daily train. The mail was hauled on a passenger train prior to the building of the Galloping Geese, and a steam train requires four people to operate and somebody to take care of it overnight. And so a galloping goose being gasoline-powered, you turn off the ignition and walk away from it. And it only took one person to operate. And so the labor savings was tremendous.
Were they unique for the railroad? Did anybody else develop anything like a galloping goose anywhere else in the United States?
There were commercially built gasoline rail cars that were used on standard gauge railroads throughout the country. A lot of railroads did home build gasoline-powered rail cars, but they were mostly used in maintenance of way. And what was unique about the Galloping Geese was that there was a fleet of them, and there were four large ones that pretty much carried most of the load once they had those four built. And they were built by the railroad and went into revenue service and ran every day. They were the only scheduled train on a daily basis, and that's what's unusual, is that they actually were generating revenue and scheduled.
Yeah, that's interesting. Why don't we give people a picture of what the Galloping Goose looks like. Can you give us a description of what they look like if people haven't seen them in Dolores or Ridgewood?
Right. Well, people have seen the one that have seen the one in Dolores know that it looks like a school bus towing a large shiny aluminum or colored box with windows in it. It originally was a Pierce Arrow touring car. A 1928 Pierce Arrow touring car had big frog-eyed fenders. You know, it was a stylish car back then, and the railroad picked up eventually four of these, and those what became the larger motors, as they were formally called by the railroad, and Galloping Geese later. And then a freight box was in the back. And so it had double doors on the sides and a door in the back, and it was used to haul mail and light freight. And passengers could ride up in the automobile part of the cab.
How did they get the name Galloping Goose?
Well, there's several stories, and interestingly, the two I know of, the name came from women. There was a woman who was, I think she was the station agent at RICO, and she grew up in the Pacific Northwest. And a railroad up there had one of the commercially built gasoline rail cars, and somehow it got the name Galloping Goose. So she just applied a name from her childhood. The other is the wife of the caretaker of the Ilium power plant, which was on the branch line that went up to Telluride, didn't like the geese. She thought they were ugly. And she one day was on the phone with somebody in Telluride saying, "Oh, here comes that thing." And they said, "That thing, what do you mean?" He said, "Oh," she said, "Oh, that galloping goose thing." So those are the two stories I know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning I'm talking with Lou Mattis, president of the Galloping Goose Historical Society in Dolores, and we're talking about the galloping geese that ran on the Rio Grande Southern Railroad for quite a while, from the 1930s into the early 50s. Can you describe for us, Lou, what would a ride be like? Say we were leaving Durango on a galloping goose and we were going to Telluride. How long would something like that take, and what would that be like?
Interesting you should ask about Durango, because that's the south end of the Rio Grande Southern, the north being Ridgeway. That goose had to travel all the way from Ridgeway to Durango during the day, and would get to Durango about mid-afternoon. It would wait for the San Juan Express train to come in from Alamosa, narrow gauge passenger train, with a railway post office car. Mm-hmm. And it would get the mail going west and north, unloaded, and so at about 3:30 it would depart Durango. You would go to Dolores. You'd have to stay overnight because you'd arrive at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. and get up and leave around 6 a.m. in the morning, and you'd be back in Ridgeway around 11.
Wow. Quite a trip. These cars, did they run them all year long? Were they
yes.
going through snow and all of that?
Yes, they could handle some snow, and they put pilot plows on them. Hmm. But if they had deep snow, they had to use steam-powered equipment to clear the line. And in particular, if it was really heavy, they had to use a steam-powered rotary snowplow. Hmm. And that was... That's part of the story of the galloping geese. In 1949, the caretaker of the rotary snowplow, this was in January of 49, let the water get too low in the boiler, and it blew up.
Wow.
And they had no means to keep the pass open. So they started hauling the mail from Dolores by truck, but the post office took away the mail contract that spring. Hmm. And the mail contract was worth $32,000 to the railroad. So it really crimped their revenue. That was their most reliable source of revenue. And they were operating on a shoestring and deferring maintenance as it was. And so the following summer, they converted the four large geese to haul passengers. They put windows in the freight box and made the back door the entrance and installed seats from Denver trolley cars. And that's the configuration we have it set up for now.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning I'm talking with Lou Mattis. He's the president of the Galloping Goose Historical Society in Dolores. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk more about the Galloping Goose. We are back. You're listening to KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning we're talking about the Galloping Goose, the passenger and freight train cars that ran on the Rio Grande Southern Railroad from the early 1930s until the early 1950s. My guest is Lou Mattis. He is the president of the Galloping Goose Historical Society in Dolores. You know, we were talking about the Galloping Goose and kind of how it evolved through time and being used as mail carrying cars and that kind of thing. Was this something that passengers rode more as a functional way to get around, or was it kind of a novelty for people to ride the Galloping Goose?
Through much of its early history, it was a means of transportation for a lot of people. Every once in a while, somebody will come into the museum and talk about how their grandfather rode it from Dolores up to Rico because he worked in the mines. And it was basic transportation for many of the local people. In later years, probably after World War II, people started discovering the Rio Grande Southern and what an awesome scenic railroad it was. And so there were occasions when groups would actually lease the geese, even with a freight box, and they would ride with the freight box doors open, and you'd have five guys looking out each doorway.
Well, I suppose that probably correlated with development of roads and automobiles and that kind
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. There were groups from Denver. There was a large group from California in the late 1940s.
Yeah. Now, people are going to get the opportunity to ride the Galloping Goose, and there are some opportunities throughout the year. Can you talk about what's coming up and what people are going to be able to do to experience some of the Galloping Goose for themselves?
Coming up starting next Thursday, I believe it's the 13th, we will have Galloping Goose number 5 on the Durango and Silverton.
And that's the one that's in Dolores now?
That's the one in Dolores. But we are going to be accompanied by Galloping Goose number 4, which is the one in Telluride. Number 4 was restored over a 3-year period starting about 6 years ago. And by a group of railroad enthusiasts in Ridgeway that run the museum there. And they restored it to operating conditions. And they are allowed to take it on one excursion. Well, as Carl Schaefer, the president of the Ridgeway Railroad Museum, said, we have to do it soon because I'm getting too old. and I'm going to agree with him because I'm getting too old. Anyway, so logistically, it's been very complex, but we have managed to pull this together. And so it's an opportunity for people to ride on both number 4 and number 5. The tickets will be for the Galloping Geese. And partway through our run, we will give people an opportunity to switch places and ride on the opposite goose where they started.
Okay.
And considering that it's been about 64 years since those two machines have run together on a railroad that goes from point A to point B, we're all pretty excited about it.
Wow, that's amazing.
And there's a lot of rail fans out there that are very excited about it.
Yeah. So this is going to run, do I have this right, it's going to run from Durango up to Silverton?
Only on one day.
Okay.
They have quite a bit of flexibility with their schedules. Thursday the 13th, we go Durango to the Cascade Y, which is about the midpoint, and that's where they run in the wintertime. We'll turn around and come back to Durango. On Friday, we do 3 short runs out of Durango to what's called Railroad Park, and it's up in the southern end of the Animas Valley. It's a short trip, probably take about an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half. But one goose will go 10 minutes before the other. We'll get to the Y. That one will turn and then wait for the other one to come in. And as it's getting turned, we will probably be departing.
Okay.
And we're going to do 3 runs during the day. Those occur at 10:30, 12 o'clock, and at 1:30. So if people want just a short ride, that's the one to take.
Okay. And how do people get tickets? Where do they go to find out more and to get their tickets?
Yeah. They go to the they can call the railroad's 800 number, and I don't have that with me, or they can go on the web and click on the events button, and then there will be several events, and they click on True West Rail Fest. And they will get the daily schedule, and they can scroll down for each day, and they'll find a whole section on the Galloping Geese. I do want to mention, too, that on Saturday is when we go to Silverton. And that's a one-way trip. People can get a bus ride back. I believe the bus ride is an extra $17, and you make that reservation through the railroad when you purchase your ticket. On Sunday, the geese stay overnight in Silverton, and we come back to Durango on Sunday with a morning departure. In order for people, a lot of people stay in Durango, the railroad will be running a bus departing Durango at 6:45. And okay. Again, that's $17. And if you want to utilize that, you need to make that purchase when you purchase your tickets.
And that's on the Durango-Silverton Narrow Gauge Railroad website.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It must be quite something to move these cars around. How do you get them to the railways to ride from Dolores and Tenerife?
Yeah. Fortunately for us, ours is the one that has been on the most excursions. We've been running excursions since 1998. And someplace along the line, probably a good 10, 12 years ago, we connected with what was then Nielsen Skanska. Well, that later became Skanska Civil USA. And I want to shout out a thank you to Gary Merrifield, who's the manager of the Cortez office. As many listeners know, Skanska is leaving Cortez. And they have hauled this goose for us for free for that length of time.
Wow.
They built the ramp that we can back a truck into. We have rail on the truck. It's very easy to load it on a truck. Yeah. And they also laid the track that is out in front of our museum. And they did it all for free. They've been really a community supporter. And so my thank you to them.
Yeah, very generous. Well, Lou, thank you so much for being here this morning. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
That's Lou Mattis. He's the president of the Galloping Goose Historical Society in Dolores. Go check the Durango-Silverton Narrow Gauge Railroad website to find out how you can ride the goose next week. I'm Tom Yoder. Thanks for listening to KSJD.